He wasn't seeing so well again. Blood had started flowing when he crawled into the hole back there, and he'd knocked his mask. He lifted his hands to the mask, turning sideways to lessen the blast from the door. He was reaching for the edge of his jacket to wipe it off. With the impact of a bullet, the mask was hit. It flew from his hand. Something had almost broken his left thumb. There was motion about 30 feet away. Mountain training and a hunter's life had left nothing wanting in Johnny's reactions. The action of dropping to one knee, drawing, and firing the blast gun did not take more than a third of a second. He fired at the mass that had begun to come at him. The shots drove it back with sheer force. Again and again he fired. The thing, whatever it was, moved back into the cover of the rib frames near the preset. There was something or someone in here with him. He had walked right past it twice when he went to the preset box. 9. Johnny protested a little at not heeding his instincts earlier. He had felt some presence. That was the worst part of wearing air masks. It denied one's sense of smell. And he could smell it now. Despite the cold air and the rust motes, Johnny could smell a cyclo. He rose cautiously, holding the gun, and backed toward his plane to get a bit more distant. A cyclo was pretty strong stuff, not only to smell, but to deal with in any wrestling match. He recalled having to wait for Thor before he could approach within arm's length of Turl. Cyclos could crush one with ease. Which cyclo was this? Did he know him? Zit, pressed up against the skin, was trying to keep from vomiting with contempt and disgust. Only what it would do to his breathe mask prevented him. It wasn't the blast gun shots. Yes, those that hit had bruised him and thrown him back, and a few feet closer they might have disabled him. It was his own reaction to change. Here he had been in abject funk, and all the while it was only the animal. Turl's animal. A surge of hatred and fury followed his nausea. He almost emerged from the recess and plowed straight in, but a blast gun stung. And the dumb twit didn't even have it on penetration, only on blast. Typical. That this animal had subjected him to such terror, he could not forgive. Why, he had nearly killed it once on the tractor with a remote. He really should have killed it. He should have taken a blast rifle out that day. Who would have noticed in all that fire? Nothing but the animal. A puny, soft, undersized, slug-white, stupid animal had scared him like that. He quivered with rage. His nausea faded. Desire for information overrode his kill lust at this moment. Maybe this was some new plot of Turl's. Damn Turl. Zut got himself under control enough to speak. Did Turl send you? Johnny tried to place the voice. Hard to do the way they talked through a face mask. The masks had sound amplification patches on their sides, but voices got muffled, low as they were. He could ask. Cyclos were very arrogant. "Who are you?" said Johnny. "You went through all that at the tractor and you don't even remember who I am? Stupid dimwit. Answer me. Did Turl send you?"
Zit.
The times Turl had muttered and rumbled on about Zit. Johnny had his own score to settle with him. He couldn't resist it. "I came to bust up the machinery," said Johnny. Another cyclo might have laughed. Not Zut.
"That goes without doubt, animal. Answer me or I'll..."
"You'll what?" said Johnny. "Step out and get killed? This blaster is set on penetration now." Johnny was slowly pacing backward to the battle plane. He edged around it. He got up on its step and opened the door and got out the assault rifle with radiation bullets. He cocked it and, when he had it ready to fire, put the blast gun back in his belt and began to walk up the corridor again. Zut had gone silent. Johnny tried to step sideways far enough to angle a shot into the recess as soon as Zut spoke again. Then he paused. Zut was the master mechanic of the compound, the transport chief, in fact. He would know far more about this drone than anyone else. "How'd you get yourself trapped aboard here?" said Johnny.
Turl!
It was practically a scream.
The...
And there followed a string of cyclo-profanity that went on for minutes. Johnny waited it out. When it finally subsided into mere rumblings, Johnny said, "So you want to get off? Just tell me how to land this, and you can get off." There followed a new string of cyclo-obscenities, so violent that Johnny began to be convinced. Finally,
"There isn't any way to change it or land it."
A pause, almost hopefully then,
"Did Turl give you the keys to the preset?"
"No. Can't it be blasted open?"
Apathy. "No."
"Can't you tear out the cables?"
"That would just crash this thing, and you can't do that either. They're armored with molecular lamination metal." "He didn't give you the keys."
It was a groan. Then savage.
"You dimwit. Why didn't you get the keys from him before you came out here?"
"He was a bit tied up," said Johnny. Then, "You better tell me what not to do so I just don't stop its motors."
"There aren't any knots either," said Zut.
He was feeling sick again from the rolling of the drone. Johnny pulled far over to the side. He was wondering whether he could send some ricochets from the frame into the recess. He couldn't get over far enough. The frames were point-edged for strength, and the edges angled out. So, Zut was no help. Johnny backed away toward the plane. He was going back for the co-pilot air mask. The Arctic chill was freezing his face. He glanced at the remains of the one knocked out of his hand. His thumb still ached. Zut had thrown a wrench. It was still embedded in the side of the mask. If that had hit him in the head... A wrench, wait. What could one do with a wrench? Johnny picked up the wrench. Typically cyclo, it was heavy as lead. It could open up to take a 12-inch diameter nut, a small nut in cyclo machinery. Quite a weapon. The second he started to straighten up from retrieving the wrench, Zut tried to charge. The gun was off target. Johnny squeezed the trigger and shots flamed up the passageway. Zut dove back. He wasn't hit or he would have gone into a pale green explosion from radiation bullets. Johnny eased back to the plane and got the other air mask, checked its valves, and put it on. It worked okay. Zut was scrambling around on the floor trying to find his mirror. It had become wedged in a loose plate.
A loose plate?
Zut used the mirror to check where the animal was. Then he got to work with his talons and a small metal ruler he always carried to pry up the 50-pound plate. It was hard going, but what a projectile it would make. The lethal drone roared on toward Scotland. 10. Johnny held the wrench in his hand. He hefted it thoughtfully. Certainly, in setting up this drone to fire, mechanics would have to get into something. And they'd have to service something if it were ever to be fired again. Locked, armored preset box. Yes, but that was just a control box. He had seen nothing else that took a key. He was finding it hard to think. It was cold. These ancient Air Force flying suits were supposed to be electrically warmed, but they had not been able to rig any batteries, and the originals hadn't been made for a shelf life of 1,000 years. The blood from his cut forehead kept messing up his faceplate, quite in addition to the way it kept misting. What was the temperature where they were flying? A power zoom to get up to freezing, that was for sure. This wrench. He caught a flicker of movement up toward the front of the ship and fired a warning shot. Two problems. No, three. Zut, Nup, and a Mark 32 on top, and how to disable this drone. Old Staffer used to say he was too smart. A lot of village people had thought that. He wasn't feeling very smart now. He knew he should get rid of Zut. But firing shots in this armored interior was not just dangerous to Zut. It was dangerous to himself. All these frames sent every shot madly caroming about, and twice now one had whistled past his own ears, and another had hit his plane on rebound. Suppose Zut were a puma. How would he go about killing it? Well, one didn't walk up to a puma. One waited for the puma to spring. No. Now, suppose Zut were a bear in a cave. That was a more fitting example. Walk into a cave with a bear in it? Suicide. He thought of setting a time fuse on a limpet and pitching it up there, getting in his plane, and depending on its armor to protect him. But there was a limit to the way magnetic grips held, and he might blow up his own plane into an unstable state. He wished he had a grenade, but all the grenades they had found were duds, and they hadn't worked out how to use them. He even thought of taking one of the fuel or ammunition cartridges, of which he had plenty for the plane, throwing it up there, and shooting into it. It would explode, that was for sure. But one cartridge might not kill Zut. Cyclos were very tough. Very tough indeed. Zut had once beaten Turl, he had heard, and Zut truly hated him. In fact, had almost killed him once. No, he was not going to try any stunt of walking up there even with an assault rifle firing. He did not know how deep that recess was or even what recess Zut was in, and Zut might very well be armed still. Nup, he had nullified for the moment. Lord, it was cold. One thing at a time. His job was not Zut or Nup. It was to stop this drone. He had better get awfully smart, fast. Because of his misting and blood-stained faceplate, he had not spotted the tiny mechanics mirror that watched him. He got busy untangling the problem of this drone. Where Cyclos couldn't use a molecular parting and resealing tool, they used nuts and bolts. And he was sure that this armor wouldn't yield to a metal knife, as they called the tool in cyclomechanics slang. He had gathered from Zut that this was molecular lamination, layer after layer of different but binding metals. Good. So somewhere here they had used nuts. He caught a flick of motion and fired another shot. The bullet ricocheted 3 times and went whining out the door. Maybe one of these floor plates. He laughed suddenly. Squarely in front of the ship, in a shadow the lights left between the skids, was a floor plate held down by nuts. He reduced the jaw size of the wrench and got down between the skids. Another small adjustment, and he had the size. There were 8 nuts. They came off very easily. These had been removed recently. He put the nuts on one of the skid tops that had an inset groove. Heavy, they stayed there despite the roll. One of the plane skids was on the far edge of the plate. He pounded it with the heel of the wrench and loosened it. He pried the plate up with the lip of the wrench. He intended just to set it aside, but as it came loose, the drone rolled, and it went sliding out of his numb hands, through the door, and into the screaming wind and emptiness. Who cared? He got out a torch and shone it down into the blackness. He was looking at the top of the main motor drive. The housing was as big as a 1-story house. It made him realize that the whole underside of the drone was motors and additional gas canister storage. What tons and tons and tons of lethal gas this carried. The canisters glowed like monster fish in the darkness. But the housing. Johnny knew these drives in miniature. They were space translation cubicles, mostly empty, but served by an enormous number of points that jutted into them. Each point had its own coordinate message, and these points had to be cleaned. There must be an inspection and maintenance plate on this housing. With a wary look up the long passage, he slid down and braced his feet on the structural support members of the housing. He played the light around. It was hard to keep an eye on the corridor from this position, and he alternated looks at the housing with looks at the corridor. Maybe he really ought to work out how to get rid of Zut before he went on with this. He had to duck down to see the housing. But doing something with Zut might put an end to himself, and he reminded himself that too many lives, in fact, the only human lives left, depended on him. Courage aside, he mustn't risk his neck. Bear in a cave. He decided he could chance it and duck down. There it was, a huge inspection plate, held down by 4 12-inch nuts. But what an unhandy place. Handy maybe for a cyclomechanic to reach down with huge long arms. Not handy for him. He banged off another shot up the passageway. He ducked down and adjusted the wrench. He gripped the first nut.
Yikes, it was tight.
No one-hand job with this big wrench. Cyclos didn't know their own strength when putting nuts on. He inspected the corridor again. He had to lay down the assault rifle to do this. He made sure the place he put it braced it reasonably so it wouldn't slide out the door. He still had his revolver in its holster. He eased down and, with two hands on the wrench, legs braced, heaved on the nut. It turned. He had learned enough about mechanics not to just undo and take off one nut. He'd find the last one wedged tight. So loosen all four about half a turn each. He had number two loosened. He was straining at number three.
What are you doing? Roared Zut.
Johnny came up.
Zut was still in his recess up there.
You dim-witted, stupid slug, roared Zut. If you monkey with those motors, this thing will just crash.
Thank you, Zut, said Johnny to himself.
If you leave it alone, this thing will just land by itself in 2 or 3 days, howled Zut.
Actually, Zut was getting panicky. There was something very peculiar about those shots the animal kept sending up the passageway. Right now, the exhale valve on his breathe mask had sparked slightly. For some minutes he had been aware of tiny sparks around him. He had thought they were dust motes at first, and then thought something was wrong with his eyes, that he was seeing tiny molecular flashes in his head. But this last exhale had actually sparked. Was there radiation around here? Was that animal throwing uranium dust around?
Wait, were those slugs, or was that gun he used operated by radiation?
He had decided he better act, regardless of consequences.
Yes, there was another tiny flash when the mask exhaled spent breathe gas into the air.
You've got a mask, roared Zut. This kill gas won't blow back in the drone. Just wait until it lands.
The stupid, filthy animal. Damn, Turl.
How about other people down there? Said Johnny. That shut Zut up for the moment. He could not work out how something happening to somebody else had any bearing on what one would do for himself.
Leave those motors alone, screamed Zut.
The cyclo was getting hysterical. Maybe he would charge. Johnny waited, rifle in hand.
No, Zut was not going to charge.
He better get back to work on these nuts. He laid down the assault rifle and ducked. He took a full turn on nut number one. He came up to be sure Zut hadn't moved. The 50-pound floor plate, sailing in a deadly spin, traveling with the speed of a cannonball, struck a skid strut, glanced, and smashed into the back of Johnny's head. The assault rifle flew from his clutching hand and went out into the dark. Holding somehow onto consciousness, he fumbled for the revolver. There was nothing but darkness in front of his eyes.